And that sort of gets into some of the more recent things that I've been thinking about, which is in terms of looking at the overlap of business and economic considerations with technology.
Yeah.
Where that arose is in part because, you know, having been around so many years and worked on so many different things, that I feel like my added value today is mostly in a broad perspective.
Right.
And having worked in signal processing, networking,
mm-hmm.
communications, software, etc., that I sort of have a pretty fair understanding of all those technologies. Mm-hmm. So that's where I feel like I can make a contribution more today. Secondly, the advance in technology. You know, we've seen a geometric advance in technology, and this is all three areas of information technology, communications, storage, mm-hmm. and processing. And over a large number of years, the geometric advance has a big impact.
Right, right.
The question is sort of, what is that impact? Well, if I look back over the extent of my involvement in these technologies going back to the late 60s, what's changed, and it's a radical change, is that back in the 60s and 70s, we were having a real hard time doing things with adequate performance and at low enough cost to make them practical in the real world, given the technologies of the day. So we addressed a relatively few applications, telephony, television, radio, basically just three or four applications. And all of the effort went into advancing those applications and making them more cost-effective, trying to make them available to a larger number of people. And in that era, the charter of the Bell system, the whole reason for existence of the Bell system, was to extend to universal service, that is, to get telephone service out to everybody and to get the cost down so it would be used more and have greater impact on the population, on the citizenry. So, and that was one of the reasons that there was less interest in new technologies and doing new things, mm-hmm. that there was a very clear charter, which was to do the things we were doing better. So, in contrast, today I would characterize it that we have a set of amazing technologies that can do almost anything that we can imagine at a reasonable cost and with a reasonable performance. And so the nature of the problem is very different today, I would argue.
Uh-huh.
The nature of the problem today is, what are we going to do with these technologies? Right. And there's a much greater diversity of applications. It's not just two or three applications, it's dozens or hundreds mm-hmm. of applications. And there's an opportunity to have a lot more applications, or to do the applications we're doing better. It's likely to be cost-effective if we just conceptualize what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, in today's world, while there are certain notable exceptions to this observation, the general observation is that it's much less important to do things efficiently, low cost, to worry about those dimensions. And there's a lot more attention paid to what we're doing.
Right.
And of course, notable exceptions being things like, it's still not economical to bring high-definition TV to everybody's home, high-speed internet access. There's certain bottlenecks, like the one you mentioned, that Gordon Moore mentioned. So, when you think about the what question as opposed to the how question,
right.
The more important question becomes what, not how. The what question really has a couple of aspects to it. One is, what do the users want? You know, what does the world want? What will the world buy? And that's kind of the what they call in business school marketing question. And then the second question is, how does the marketplace and technology work? How does technology actually get out into the marketplace? You know, what's practical to do and what isn't?
Right, right.
Based on various issues like what the economists call network effects, which means that certain types of technology have the characteristic that as more people adopt it, it becomes more valuable to everybody.
Right, right, right.
Or lock-in, where the way that I create value as a software supplier, because it's so easy, because the cost of the actual good that I'm selling is practically zero in terms of its replication costs, most of my economic value is in locking in the customer, to getting my customer so dependent upon my software that they're willing to continue to pay me high prices for upgrades and maintenance of the software, and make it very hard for them to move to an alternative solution. So issues like that become very important in terms of the success of technology. And in my view, those kinds of issues, like things like, are we going to standardize what we're doing? Are we going to adopt a standard? Are we going to try to do something proprietary? Are we going to try to do something proprietary and then make it a de facto standard? How do we lock in our customers to our technology? How do we bypass any obstacles that might be introduced by network effects? All these issues are design decisions, design issues. That is, they're engineering design issues, not just business issues, not just management issues.